asked you, "Are you children's church, man? You go, bro." Well, I tell you, we might ought to get somebody to go to children's church. No, I'm just kidding. Thank you, Aaron. Thank you, Susan. Oh, I didn't see Susan. We're all right. We're all right. We're all right. If you would, turn to your scriptures to Romans 13, 8 through 10. We'll be, if I asked you right now, if I said, what is our mission statement, what would you say? Who said that? You go, Deb. Love God, love others is our mission statement. We've never preached on that, and I've been waiting on the scripture to come, and when you preach through the scripture, you wait on the right time, and love God and love others is our mission statement. So if I asked you, what is our mission statement, what would you say? Very good. So if you get asked, if people ask you, what is South Fork Baptist Church about? Love God, love others. That's, you know, that's not original, is it? Christ told us in Luke 22 to do that. Love the Lord God with all your heart, mind, soul, and body. And then the second is as itself, to love your neighbor as yourself. Love God, love others. And so as we're looking in Romans 13, I want us to think, and we'll go ahead and read our scripture. Let's stand to our feet and reverence the reading of God's word. Romans chapter 13, 8 through 10. Romans 13, 8 through 10. The word of God says, owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, all are summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Father, for a few moments, I pray, may your word go forth, hide me behind the cross, be glorified through the preaching of your word. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. I have always been fascinated with navigation. You say, what do you mean? Just the idea of navigation. I like the thought of, you know, we have GPS now, global positioning systems, right? We have these satellites, man, that's one of them senior moments. These satellites that orbit the earth, and we can position ourselves at any time. Our military rely heavily upon it. But listen, before GPS, think about nautical navigation. I want you to think about it that a minute. These guys, 1492, who sailed the ocean blue? Columbus, very good. Listen, he sets out. He don't have a GPS, okay? What does he have? The stars. Think about that for a moment. They would set out to sail vast oceans with nothing but the stars to guide them, a sextant and a map. Now, I'm going to tell you something. That takes a lot of faith in what? In the stars, don't it? Why is that? Well, there's one star that never moves. What is that? Very good. The North Star never moves. What if they were multiple North Stars? It wouldn't work, would it? It would not work. There is an orientation that no matter where they started out, they could always align themselves. That North Star never moved. It was there. It was something that was solidified. They could travel. They could travel vast oceans by mapping out the stars. That's always fascinated me. It was a fixed reference. Got to have a fixed reference. I want us to think about that biblically today. We need a fixed reference. We need something that does not move. In a world that tells you truth vacillates, there's no absolute truth, I'm going to tell you, and I contend to you today, there is an absolute truth, and you get to hold it in your hand. Hopefully you don't take that for granted. There's one in front of you, if not in that pew behind it. Don't ever take this for granted. There's a fixed thing, Jesus Christ and His Word. A navigational point that what? We can navigate the vast seas of life. Does anybody ever feel like you're on a in life? Life can be like that, isn't it? But there's a fixed point that you don't have to ever worry about, that you can always navigate yourself through. And so I want us to think about, as we've been learning about relationships when we got into chapter 12 of Romans, and how we are the relationship with God, relationship with the church, relationship with our community, relationship with our enemies. And then last week we learned about our relationship to the government and how God had used the government even put it in place for a purpose, and that was that justice can be served. Regardless of how we feel or how corrupted we might think it is, God puts these things in places. Man, it messes them up. Let's just be honest. Man, it messes it up. And then as we continue on here, that he comes, brings it back down to this relationship. He's kind of condensing it down for us today. And when we're talking about this love God and love others, it's our vision statement, it's why, or our mission statement, and why we do what we do. And so this is a good place to reference back to the Lord's command in Luke 22, as we already said. And I want to ask you, how does that love operate? How does this love, loving God and loving your neighbor, how does it operate? And how is it that we can fulfill these commands? How is it lived out? If we'll look at Romans 13, 8 through 10, we'll see some truths to answer those questions this morning. Loving God and loving others. First, I want us to understand that love is our debt. Verses 8a, look what it says. Owe no one anything except to love one another. Now, we need to take do not take any verses, and people will do this. Man will do this. He'll take a verse out of context, and he'll make it say something that it doesn't. If you remember the context of our verses today there, when it's talking about, when we go back to verse 13:7, and what does it say? Verse 13:7 says, render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. And then he says, owe no one anything. He's not talking about now you can never borrow money. A lot of people, they'll say, hey, that's what he said. Owe nobody nothing except love. They'll take it out of context. He's not talking about that. In fact, he's saying that render or pay back that we've already seen in verse 7. It's not that, hey, we should never be indebted. We never should be imprisoned to debt. But he's not saying that it's wrong to borrow money or anything. That's not what he's saying. He's saying fulfill your obligations. Fulfill your obligation. Now listen, as Christians, and we talk about being good citizens, if we borrow money, what should we do? Pay it back. We should pay it back. We should not ever owe or act like that we don't obligate or all these things that we get labeled with if we're not careful. But he's saying, hey, fulfill your obligations. Render, therefore, all that's due. And Paul has shown us one way that we overcome evil with good back in 12:21 is that the civil government, justice is done. So that means that we are to give everyone what we owe them. Taxes to taxes, we pay our taxes. Why? Because the government is in place and God has ordained it. And so they call us to pay taxes. What do? Pay taxes. Very good. We're going to get you going here in a minute. Peter, be my amen corner back there. Get this bunch livened up a little bit. Listen, owe to no one anything. Let no debt remain outstanding. And so render all that's due. Fulfill our debt. Fulfill our obligations. But I want you to see there's going to be one obligation that we can never fulfill. And that's what he's getting to. Then he goes from our financial responsibilities or what it is that we owe, our obligations, and he says, hey, we do owe one thing that we'll never meet, and that's love. Our debt of love. Never paid off, by the way. I've loved them enough. I'm not going to love them anymore. No, that ain't how it works, is it? In fact, he said, owe no one anything except to love one another. Then he goes on to this, except to love one another. Fulfill your obligations, but guess what? There's this one obligation you're never going to fulfill. And what's that? Our love for one another. In fact, we know, we talked about this time and time again, it's our brand, it's how people know that we're Jesus's if we have love one for another. He said that. That's how they'll know that you're my disciple. It's this brand of love that we had, and so we can never pay it off. And I love this, Paul's spoken three times about debt in Romans already. He talked about in Romans 1, he said, I'm a debtor to all men to preach the gospel. He said, I'm in debt. This is a debt I can't ever finish paying. Do you realize that we're all in debt for that, to share the gospel? Paul said, I'm a debtor to the gospel. I got to share. And then he said in 8, I'm a debtor to not to the flesh, but to the Spirit. I'm a debtor to the Spirit, to live by the Spirit. I'm a debtor to share the gospel. I'm always be sharing the gospel. I'm always supposed to be living in the Spirit, allowing not my flesh. Does anybody know the difference? Hello, I hope we do this morning. When my flesh and what it wants, it lusts after the things of the world. It lusts after the things that I want, but that's not what God says. He said to live by the Spirit of God. And what does that do? It desires to please God. It desires for us to live by this thing that's this navigational point that never moves. In a world that's vacillating, we have Christ and His Word. And man, if you think about it, when we get to these things, this loving God, loving others is a biblical understanding of a present reality. that we live in. It's the present reality God's called us to live to. Now, regardless of what everybody else says, His Word is truth. Thy Word, O Lord, is truth, and it's forever settled in heaven. We don't have to worry. We know it's the truth. It doesn't matter what the world says truth is or what it isn't. God's Word is truth. So when we understand navigating through life, listen, think about love is our compass. You ever done compass before the GPS? You ever, anybody remember the compass and how you shoot in a point, right? I went to Canada years ago. It's back when before Sierra was born. I went to Canada hunting, deer hunting. Yeah, that's me. I like deer hunting. I went all the way to Canada. 31-hour drive, dude. 2 weeks we stayed. It didn't cost us hardly anything. It's before now you got to have a guide and all that. And so we self-guided. We went back to the bush, rode four-wheelers for 14 miles back in the bush. But they told you, they said, you know what? When we learned up on it, they said, you better have a survival kit. It gets cold up there. Listen, I opened up a Coca-Cola, and when I opened it up, got the sip off of it, the next sip it was froze. That's how cold it was. And you're talking about thirsty. And they said, never eat snow. Guess what? I ate some snow. And I was thirsty. We hunt all day, and I looked at you. Could, I said, I'll fix them. I took me a Stanley Thermos up there, and I said, I'll have me some water. Guess what? I got the ready. I said, I'm going to get me some water now. Could not get the cap off. I could hear the water in there, look. And I could not, I'm talking about beating it, whatever you did, I could not get that cap off. It was froze, and there I was eating snow again. But here we are in the bush, and so we got pretty scared. You know how guys are. You got to prepare, right? And so we have these survival kits. I told them, I said, if you lose me, you just look. I'm starting a forest fire. I'm lighting something up, okay? I got enough matches. I'm lighting something. You can find me because you'll freeze to death overnight. But we had compasses, and we'd take that compass, and you'd shoot into a place, and you knew that you had to come back out if you know the compass. What makes a compass work? It's that magnetic north. If you've got some kind of other magnetic interference, it ain't going to work. It's useless. But magnetic north, it didn't matter where you turned on that compass, where would that arrow go? It would go back to magnetic north. It's that, so love would be our compass. Love is our compass. It's the thing that always orients back to where it's supposed to be, Jesus. Jesus is our fixed point. He's our magnetic north, right? And the Bible's our map. Come on, you got everything you need to navigate life right here. No matter where I turn, I might get bumped, I might go through hard times, here I am, but guess what? It always orients back to what? True North, Jesus. Jesus. And the love that He tells us to, listen, that fixed point never changes. And that's what makes Christians different in this world. Love is that thing. And then he says, lastly, 13, he's a debtor of love. We're debtors to love. We have an obligation to live a life of love. This is our debt. And you know what? We owe that to Jesus, do we not? How much did He love you? How much did He love you? He gave Himself. He gave His life for you and for me. And if you've never received that love, if you've never come to that point in your life that you said, you know, He gave His life for me, not for us as a whole, but me individually, it was my sin that put Him on that cross. It was my sin that He suffered and died. It was my sin that He died and was placed in a grave. But it was also His resurrection that delivers me from my sin. Let me tell you something. If you're looking for salvation or fulfillment in any other way this morning, you're not going to find it. Why you say that, Dave? Oh, I've been down those paths. I've traveled those walks. You're not talking to a pastor that hadn't been down those roads. I'm ashamed to say it. But in a way, though, it helps me because I can say I've been there. You know, it's my testimony before the Lord. I've tried the things the world has to give. Oh, they're fun for a while, but you know what? You find yourself disgusted again, longing, searching. No use to searching on when the truth's right before you, when it says, hey, this is what orients us. It's Christ. And we are to love. Are you a loving person? This is a debt that's never paid. Love is our moral compass, and it helps us to navigate through life. Next, it says that love summarizes the law. Look at 8b through 9. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there are any commandments, all are summed up in the same, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So he goes on, and Paul, I want you to remember who he's writing to, the church at Rome. They had struggled with the law. They had struggled. We saw through the 11 chapters there, he was trying to teach the Jews that, hey, listen, Jesus was the fulfillment of the law. He summarized it, and so no longer do you have to march in order, this step. This is what makes me right with God, but in Christ I have this freedom, and he makes me right. And so they understood that the law, how was it that the law fit then? Paul's letting them know. They had struggled with it. He's saying to them, hey, what pleases God then is he gives us this example. This is what comes from the law. And I love that. We know these. We know from the Decalogue, Exodus 20, when he's at Sinai, and Jesus, the God gives Moses the Ten Commandments that he writes down, and we know that the first four deal with God. Don't have any other gods before me. Don't make any idols. Don't take the Lord's name in vain. Honor, to keep the Sabbath day, keep it holy. We know those first four are vertical. It's our vertical relationship with him. Listen, that's important that we have that right, because the next six is dealing horizontally. It's dealing with us. So if we get this right, this will come. But he makes this statement in these six. He says, he who loves another has fulfilled the law for the commandments. Look what he says. You shall not commit adultery. If I love my wife, I'm not going to cheat on her and sleep with somebody else. Can anybody say amen? If I love my fellow man, I'm not going to kill him. You shall not murder. If I love the people around me, I'm not going to steal from them. You shall not steal. If I love the people around me, I'm not going to lie about them. You shall not bear false witness. He says, if I truly love the people around me, I'm not going to covet. Oh, preacher. What is coveting, any by the way? It's wanting what somebody else has got to the point that you're jealous of what they have. Oh, we can all relate to that because each and every one of us has done it. Thou shalt not covet. If I love my brothers and sisters, people around me, I'm not going to covet. I'm going to be thankful for them. I'm going to be thankful for what they have and grateful. He said it's all summed up in what you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Paul, he's letting them know, hey, here we go again. And if we say neighbor, now who's that neighbor? Is that Lee and Sherry? Because they're my neighbor. Is that the person up the road from me, my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? You remember Jesus was asked that, wasn't he? Good Samaritan story. He said, let me tell you about this. He was robbed. He's laying there all beat up. This religious guy comes by, priest. He's on the way to the temple, sees that man laying over. I ain't got time for that. I surely don't want to be unclean going to the temple. So he passes by. Levi comes by, another religious guy. He sees him laying over. He says, well, I ain't got time for that. I ain't mess with him. And then it says a Samaritan, which was treated with disdain. What did he do? He saw him and had compassion, didn't he? Bandaged him up, took care of him, put him on his horse, took him to an inn, paid for his inn. Said, hey, if he owes anything when I come back by, I'll pay it all. Jesus said, who was the neighbor? Who did the love? The last. Who's the neighbor then? It's whoever God brings into our path. And it says to love them as yourself. You don't have no problem loving yourself, okay? The world will tell you, you got to love yourself or you can love anybody else. Baloney, a good Greek word, baloney. The problem is we don't have no problem loving ourselves, okay? We don't have no problem taking care of ourselves. It's taking care of others that we have a problem with. As yourself, love your neighbor as yourself, it says. Paul's shown us through 11 chapters about keeping that law and how it just condemns that nobody could ever fulfill the law, but in Christ the law was fulfilled. And in love that we can say, it summarizes this all. It summarizes living out these things that God said, this is what I desire of you. This is your map. Some of the I do not do, thou shalt not, is our map. We know that those are areas, parameters, and we don't just walk by them. But we live by what God's commanded and the love that he's given us, and we love others. The Spirit of God keeps and empowers us to love with the love of God working in us. Listen, the same gospel that makes us right standing before God is the same gospel that transforms our hearts and lives to love as Christ did. It's the same gospel. It transforms us every day to love as Christ does. Love lives in view of the love of God. And it's not a code. A code of conduct, but it's a character. It's not that we do it because we're supposed to do it. It's the character of Christ that dwells within us that we allow to come through us to love and truly care about our fellow man. It's that love, it's that character of Him that comes forth. And them old, you remember the old bracelets? What would Jesus do? He said, well, that's kind of tacky. Listen, it's a good question. When you face a situation, what did Jesus do? What did he do? Not what he do, but what did he do? How would he handle a situation? We are to love like Christ. Love like Christ in these situations. And so I want you to think that we have this fixed point in the Christ. We have this love as our compass, and we have this roadmap that we navigate through life, and we're constantly orienting ourselves to Christ and how He would handle the situation and making much of Him. It's about His glory. By the way, it's not about us. It's about Him. It's not about South Fort Baptist Church and a group of people that meet Him. It's about Him and the kingdom, and He's placing us here. What a blessing to be out here on the riverbank last Sunday and to see those young people get baptized, their profession of faith. Did anybody else get any goodness out of that? The people were floating down the river. They was even clapping their hands. You see that when He come up, when they baptized them. I thought, what a great testimony. That's a miracle. Don't ever get over that. That's God at work. But you know what? It's not about saying, oh, look what South Fort did. It's about look what Jesus did. It's about growing a kingdom. I want to see God raise up men and women and boys and girls right here in this congregation that they go out around the world taking the gospel of Jesus. Not just build us up and we just get bigger and bigger and bigger. Is that what it's about? Anything alive is going to grow, but I want to see the gospel make a difference right here in downtown Todd. And only God can do that. Why is that? Well, you just don't come to Todd unless you're coming for a reason. You're not just passing through, all right? Do I have to inform anybody of that? I can't tell you how many people say, I can't believe God's doing that. Say, that's right, God. Because He can't, no man, no group, take credit for only what God can do. Can He make a difference in Todd at South Fort Baptist Church? Come and see. Come and see. Can anything good come out of Galilee? Come and see. Come and see. God. And we see that this love that we're supposed to, that's what it's about. That's what makes this church so good, is the love that we have. We should never lose that. In fact, we should grow in it. We shouldn't be complacent in it and think, oh, we're loving enough. In fact, the Scripture says we'll never pay that debt off, will it? I want us to know that this compass that we have of love and this roadmap and the fixed point of Christ, it'll help you in your situational ethics. You ever seen that? People have different ethics in different situations. They vacillate. Well, that's all right for you and that's your truth, but I don't believe that. What are we basing our truth on? It has to be on a fixed point. It has to be, the compass has to be oriented to the truth. Or you have the plethora of what we have today. Everybody think it's, as Lee said, it doing what's right in their own, everybody doing what's right in their own mind. That's why we have what went on in Charlottesville, Virginia. People upset over a statue and people losing their life over a statue, a historical statue. What in the world is the world coming to? We find our ethics. We find our place in the truth of God's Word. And we establish it on that. And we make our determinations on that and that alone. We don't live by, we have a fixed point. We love God and we love others. Lastly, love. Not only love summarizes the law, but love fulfills the law. Verse 10. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. I think our biggest problem today, notice I said I think, our biggest problem today is the word love. Let's think about that. It's a slippery word, ain't it? What does it look like? What is it? How do we measure it? How do we understand this love that he's talking about in our verses this morning? What is it and what isn't it? Hollywood portrays it as a completely different thing as biblical love. Come on, let's think about it. If God is a God of love, how many times you've heard this? If God is a God of love, what is your definition of love? If he's a God of love, right? God is a God of love. We say that. What's your definition of love? Come on, we've got to throw a song in there. I know you're thinking it. The old Beatles song. All you need is love. Ooh, 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 ooh. All you need is love, love. Love is all you need. What's your definition of love? If that's all we need. Biblical love fulfills the law. It does not reject or break it. Did anybody hear that? Biblical love. And if you notice that people will use the platform of love for any under that umbrella to let anything go. Have you noticed that today? Biblical love fulfills the law. It does not break it. Does not reject it. It fulfills it. It fulfills it. That's why we have some of the situations that we have today. That people, they say God's loving, and so God's God of love, and so you know what? That comes under that Pandora box. Let's just open it up and anything goes. You can do whatever you want to. But call God loving? Is that truth? Is it? Am I really loving somebody in a sinful situation and saying, oh, it's loving for me just to allow them to do that? Is that really love? Is it? The truth of the matter is it's laziness because we don't want to rock no boats. We don't want to stand on the truth. We want to be liked by everybody. Let's be honest. We want everybody to like us. Somebody don't like us, it tears us up, don't it? So we want to fit in with every circle, every person. We want to do that. There's nothing wrong with loving people but standing on the truth of God's Word. The truth never changes. And so it finds us, we find ourselves in a situation, in an environment of saying God's love, it incorporates in all these things. And so you can do and live and sin and do anything you want to because God's love. Is that biblical love? It sounds like human love, not Hollywood love. It's just feeling, based on a feeling. Oh, I love you. What does that mean? Biblical love says when we say love, that means it comes with sacrifice. Christ loved us this much. He sacrificed and he gave himself. But you know what? He stood on the truth. He didn't say, hey, you can do and trample over my cross anytime you want to and live in sin and say it's okay and call it right. In fact, our society is disintegrating because of this stance of love. It's disintegrating, falling apart. Why? Because we're not standing on the truth. True love is the fulfillment of the law. It does not reject it. In fact, it's in verse 8, it says, he who loves another has fulfilled the law. Well, back up in verse 8. So in order for us to walk by this standard, in order for us to navigate this map, it's to live in love. And it says has fulfilled. It don't say will fulfill. When we live in love and we treat each other in that love, it says you're fulfilling God's standard. You're living out what he's called us to do. I don't know about you, but that simplifies things a lot for me. I'm a simple man. I like simple things. Blaine gave me a Smarty back there, said I needed all I can get a while ago. I said, man, I need a whole bag of them if it's going to make me smart. I appreciated him sharing the Smarty, okay? Love is the fulfillment of that law. I want us to understand something, and I wrote this before this happened in Charlottesville, and I thought, how ironic, and I thought about not even saying it, but Robert E. Lee made the famous statement, do your duty in all things. It is the best that we can do. He's known for that statement. I want you to know something. Love
never denies duty, but it fulfills it. Something greater than just duty going through it. It is a fulfillment of God through us, living Christ in us, the hope of glory. The most loving thing I can do is obey God in my marriage, in my relationships, at my school, at my work. The most loving thing I can do is obey God and live the obedience out in front of Him and reach out to others in Jesus' name and understand this. You were a sinner that was dying, going to hell just like everybody else that needs Jesus Christ, but the love of God penetrated your heart if you've come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. He penetrated our heart. He brought grace into our lives. That grace can save anybody. Do you believe that today? I do. Then how hard is it, we really believe it, just to hand out a card, share the love? How hard is that if we really believe it? See, it's one thing to say it. It's another thing to live it. Loving God and loving others. It's not cheap love like the world says love is cheap. But it's love that's got, it's got gravitas. It's got weight to it. Why? Because it's based on a point that never vacillates, never changes. Christ, the hope of glory. Man, listen. You got your compass. You got your love. That's your moral compass. You got the fixed point, which is Jesus. And you got your roadmap. You got everything you need to make it through this life. You're on a journey, by the way. You're navigating the seas of this life. We're going to make it home one day when we get to heaven to be with Him. But until then, we are to fulfill what He's called us to do. And that's to be His love. That's to be His hands. That's to be His feet. And that is to be obedient to what He's taught us to do. What about? You don't have to ask what about. Go to your compass. Go to your fixed point. Go to your map. It'll answer all your questions. Applications and we'll be done. How do you love your neighbor? How do you love your neighbor? We'll say, I love them. Have you ever shared the truth with them? How do you love your neighbor? Are you living in obedience to God's word? Is there sin markers in your life? That's not obedience. That's not obedience. Are you living in obedience to God's word? Number three, when was the last time you shared the love of God through the gospel? When's the last time you shared the gospel with somebody? That's just beyond. And I say that. You'll hear me use that time and time again. You know why? You're not going to ever hear me quit saying that, by the way. Sorry. Why? I have to remind myself, too. Ministry can keep you from sharing the gospel. You believe that? Oh, it's easy to share here, but I'm talking about when I'm out and about doing the things when I'm out in the world. Looking to share the gospel. Looking to plant the seed. Looking to show the love of Christ wherever I go. Let's stand on our feet. Linda, come and play. I'm not going to tarry very long. God spoke to your heart. You need to come forward and pray. Pray whenever, as soon as she starts playing. Don't even hesitate. Come forward. If you don't know Christ and you know the Holy Spirit's convicted you this morning, do not take that for granted. If the Spirit's shown you that, come forward. I'd love to show you how to know Christ as your personal Savior. Whatever God said to you, are you loving others like you should? Are you loving God, loving others? Close your eyes before the Lord. That's the question before you. Are you loving God and loving others as you know you've been commanded to do? What is God telling you? He's telling you to come, come. Don't hesitate. Allowing the Lord to work. You do realize that you can be saved right where you're standing. You can ask God to forgive you of your sins, turn to Him in repentance, and live from Him from now on, but you will let somebody know that. What is God saying? One more verse. Could be that the Lord's dealing with somebody. look here. Take one of these cards on your way out. How easy it is just to invite somebody or share with them just for a moment. Say, man, the Lord's been so good to me. Let me just share you a card. Love for you to come to church. I don't know if you have a church home. If you do, I just want you to share that. Share that card with you. You might have some questions about life. You can go to truelife.org. Answers all the hard questions for you. Just give them a card. If you're getting ready to go out and eat, just give them a card. Share. Become that which God's called us to be for His glory. Lee, close this.